Clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Just to advise, following a discussion with the proposer of the motion relating to item 6, it has been deferred and will be tabled at May's committee meeting. So item 1, we have apologies from Councillors McAvoy, Enright, Howey and Charvin. Are there any other apologies? Councillor Quinn.
And one for Councillor Israeli, please, as well, Chair.
Any declarations of interest? No. Okay. Item 3 is the action sheet arising from Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 14th of March 2024, and I'll go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2 and page 3. Could I have a proposer and seconder? Thank you. And seconded, did you get that okay? Item 4 is the notion of notice of... Sorry, any questions? Thank you. Item 4 is the notice of motion on ethical procurement. And I hand over to Josephine Kelly.
Members, there's a paper in front of you outlining the notice of motion that was brought to the full council meeting on the 5th of February 2024. We as the council will be looking at our procurement policy. There are new regulations coming in later on in the year, and this will be the time that we believe to review our policy and processes. And with this notice of motion, we will look at that notice of motion when we're carrying out that review. There is lots of legislation around procurement, so we will have to keep that in mind as we carry out that review. Any questions?
Councillor Byrne?
Thanks, Josephine. Josephine, if we can just then, there's no point in getting into the detail of it now because obviously the procurement process is coming later in the year. But if we can keep it on the action sheet, because my fear is that we get to that process and then that's forgot about. There will have to be advice taken, and I think the direction of the motion, I think, would be broadly everybody would be broadly in agreement, or the majority would be broadly in agreement. But as long as we come back through that process, that we discuss it then and see where we can build it into our procurement policy to make sure that it's as robust as possible. So if there's no issues, if we keep it on the action sheet until that time, I think it's an important issue.
No issue.
I was just going to just question that, actually. So obviously this is us moving the motion because it was referred into the SPNR, yeah. So just have a few speaking notes on it and then a couple of questions around the paper that's been presented. So just to say, ethical procurement is a positive motive for councils when conducting commercial transactions and business. The purpose of the initiative is to ethically advance how councils across Ireland tender who they are affiliated to in accordance with international law obligations. And the initiative will ensure that ethical procurement policies are in place as a framework to to ensure no council in Ireland will be able to financially aid businesses and companies investing, practising or complicit in human rights abuses when tendering. By adopting an ethical procurement policy, the council will be able to implement a process, albeit at council level, to exclude businesses and companies involved in human rights and international law violations when tendering bids, and it will ensure that international human rights principles and guidelines are being adhered to at a local level. So we would propose that taking this approach would not create an atmosphere where councils are pressured into feeling that they're prosecutors of human rights violations, but instead that they will not be rendering financial aid or assistance to tender bidders complicit in human rights abuses. It is imperative to note that exclusion from tenders and contracts can't be discriminatory on the grounds of geographical scope of activity and sourcing location, national identity or origin. So companies deemed in breach of the guiding principles in human rights should be excluded from the tendering process as a policy objection, not because of the detail of their tendering bid. And it is imperative that during the development of a Newry Morning Down ethical procurement policy, council seeks legal guidance in relation to the logistical detail of the policy being adopted and implemented. So I suppose for me, looking at the paper and reading through it, I would note the recommendations, but I would question the time frame on, you know, when are we going to review any procurement process to potentially include ethical procurement in it.
We've started that process at the moment, is looking at our processes. So I'll be in a better position over the next, you know, a few months to come back to you. But we need to be, you know, ahead of this legislation then, sort of being ready for it. So really are talking quite sort of early autumn here.
So would that just sit then on the action sheet just to keep it kind of live?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I suppose even from a local perspective, we'd be looking then how we actually vet, I suppose, companies to see, you know, who is actually could be potentially in violation of human rights laws, or is that something that needs to be looked at in more detail?
All the detail behind all this will have to be looked at as part of this process, so I couldn't comment on it tonight.
Okay.
But when we look at legal advice and, you know, I suppose what other you know, public sector organisations are doing, we'll have to keep all that under review. Okay. And happy to keep it on the action sheet. Bring it back when we've carried out that review.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Just for a bit of clarity, just in this regard then, so we're not actually making a decision in terms of the notice of motion tonight, because, listen, it's a fairly complex issue, this, and I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable making a decision, particularly whenever there, I think there's legal advice required in terms of the implications of implementing some of the recommendations here. So it's just to get clarity on that. We're not actually making it, other than to allow it to keep it on the action sheet, we're not actually taking it, a decision to support this motion or not. It's more by keeping it on the action sheet and review it as time goes on, whenever the officials obviously have their piece of work to do on this.
So for me, the recommendation at 3.1 is the poser and seconder tonight on the recommendation.
Sorry, but what does that mean? Does that make, you know, say I wouldn't be content to support the motion at this stage, but say I think there's a piece of work to do in this in terms of legal advice, etc. No, just getting clarity on that, because I'm not going to give my consent to the motion tonight. It's a complex issue, this, if it does require more work. And it's just to get a clear outline as to what we are actually agreeing on here. Is it the recommendation or is it the substance of the motion as well?
We haven't carried out the work on the, you know, our policy is as the policy is at the moment, so we haven't got a new policy in front of bells tonight. What we're saying is the time to do this is over the next number of months ahead of the new legislation coming in, and we bring back a paper then for proposing and seconding on the new policy. But
does that mean that this actual policy will be included in that? That's what I mean by this, or is it a case that there's a piece of work to do on the recommendation? That's the recommendations that are included in the motion.
Just considering it, because we will need to be mindful of legal advice. This consideration at this point in time, part of this motion.
Okay.
I'm going to take in Councillor Hanlon first. Councillor McMurray, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Ap-
point of clarity around, you know, what we're agreeing to tonight is that we will look at putting an ethical procurement process into Newry Morning Down policy. You know, so we are making a decision on recommendation 3.1. But I'm reading it off what it says. Within the new policy, affirms to consider a section under ethical procurement. We are deciding to consider that it's going to be put into the procurement. Yeah, I'm aware.
If I just come in, I think just for Councillor Taylor's perspective, it is that we are going to consider a section under ethical procurement. It's the point that has been made, and I think Councillor Hanlon recognised it as well when she was in her opening speech just around that, is that we will have to give legal consideration to a number of matters within this, and that's what will come back then. So it is, we're doing a new policy, which we have to do. We have to update our policy in line with the legislation that's changing anyway. We're going to consider the ethical procurement aspect of that, and we will have to bring any relevant parts of legal advice, etc., back on that other point.
Sorry, can you go through the chair, please? Councillor Lewis, do you want to come in on that? Your name disappeared there.
It was just to seek clarity that whatever the council does put together its plan on this policy, will that be coming back through here so that we can scrutinise it? Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose a few questions as well. I get the general gist of it and sort of generally reassured about it so much. But I suppose this is this sort of a higher bar, if you will, than a fair trade? Because, you know, we're a fair trade council, if that makes sense. So I presume this is on the higher bar again. We see it in our welcome signage, the Newry Morning Down Council, Fair Trade Council, which is great. So I'm just wondering, is this sort of the next level up? Second question, we've already talked a bit about legislation and legal advice and all the rest of it, but I think there is that, I would say I know much about it, like, but there's the Economic Activity of Public Bodies Bill going along. Is that something that's going through Westminster, I think, at the minute? Is that something that is that trying to stop things like these ethical procurement policies? Certainly some of the media that I'm reading, that seems to be the way of it. And again, just curious about that point. And the last point is I suppose I'm just conscious of who sort of Who arbitrates in this? You know, is it Human Rights Watch? Is it an international UN standard that says these people are in these countries or whatever in violation of human rights? Because I'm just, the greatest will in the world, I'm going to have a different ethical outlook than my erstwhile Sinn Féin colleagues. You might have a different erstwhile lookout than my DUP and UUP colleagues. So I'm just curious as to how all this. I'm not against the motion. I'm quite happy to see it proceed, Chair, and all the rest of it. And we're party happy to see it proceed, but just UE questions, if you get meaning.
None of us sitting here are procurement lawyers, and I think that's really why we need to get legal advice behind this, because there are a number of legal regulations we're going to have to keep a balance here. So that's part of this process. So I can't comment whether it's a higher bar or a lower bar, but we do have to go through a process here. It will be kept on the action sheet moving forward, and it will come back to this committee for approval in due course.
Are we all in agreement? Poser and seconder, please.
Happy to second.
Opposed by Councillor Hanlon.
Happy to second.
Seconded. Item 5 then is the notice of motion on MMR vaccinations. Does anyone want to speak? Do that?
Councillor Devlin had brought that. Okay.
Veronica then.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, sir. Yes, thank you, Chair. This report brings back to committee a report following the notice of motion that was agreed at Council, full Council on the 5th of February in relation to the MMR vaccinations. And we had worked with the PHA in terms of delivering an information education campaign from the 11th to 28th of March. The reason that those dates were implemented for the campaign is that the catch-up for the vaccination then was up until the 31st of March. So you'll see in the key findings then a report on the different marketing communications activity, both printed and digital, as was requested in the notice of motion. And just to highlight to you that paragraph 2.3, our own social media channels demonstrated that our messaging reached over 52,000 people, and through our media monitoring agency then we secured the figures of the potential reach, and so the potential reach indicates that almost 400,000 people had access to that information because other media channels and sources had shared our information. So I think this indicates that the campaign and the work that we delivered in that short space of time was indeed very successful, with almost 400,000 people potentially seeing that the campaign in relation to MMR vaccinations and the importance of obtaining those. Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, just to say, obviously the motion was debated and heard at full council, so not speaking on the motion, but just to thank the communication and marketing team. Seeing the adverts that went out after the motion, we got the internal briefing from the chief executive at the time. And, you know, it's very welcome, I see it even later on in the report when we talk about communications, to get this information back after we've had a motion gone through council and the marketing department go and do their work. See the figures coming back is really, really good, and we see it on maybe a number of negative issues that's coming up in communications, and that discussion between us selected members and officers. Mm-hmm. There's too many times that we see motions going through, all agreed, and then we don't see the feedback of the fruit of our labours, of what comes back from it. So, yeah, welcome to paper, and congratulations to the communications and marketing team on that motion. That was excellent.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, it's just to agree with Pete's comments, and obviously to thank Councillor Devlin for bringing the motion. It was a really good initiative, and I noticed myself even on my own social media, you know, all the information coming through. So it's good to get that kind of statistics from marketing about how successful it was, and just well done. Thank you.
Could I have a proposer and seconder, please?
Proposed.
Item 7 is the funding opportunity, and that's for Conor Mallon.
Okay, thanks, Chair. As set out in the report, we have had an approach from the Department for the Economy to deliver on a multiply programme through our LMP in partnership with the colleges and universities. This will require the appointment of a staff member in order to deliver on the programme, and the report is recommending that we will recruit a dedicated officer for the Multiply programme following receipt and acceptance of the formal letter of offer, and we'll liaise with SRC and CERC to ensure there's no duplication in delivery, and we'll develop an action plan through the LMP and community development and submit the DfE before the end of the month. So we're going to propose her and second her for the recommendations.
Councillor Byrne.
Thanks, Chair. Welcome the paper. Anything that comes in a maths background, I'd love to see more funding get into that as a maths teacher myself. I have concerns about the target that we hit. We need to be quite clear. If you're going to have the action plan submitted by next Friday, how far are we on that action plan? Obviously, discussions have to happen with SRC and SERC about duplication. But there is a huge need out there within the workplace, working with employers, which is one of the areas for this multiply programme from DfE, to improve numeracy within the workplace. These are people that don't actually go to the colleges and do courses. You have distinctly where people want to go and get GCSEs or do a course in numeracy at one side, and then people who want to be able to avail of it online. And when this was first announced last year, there was the online platform to be up, and I know there's multiple online platforms out there that you can use for tutorials, and we all have our own, but this has been funded by the UK government. Where are we on that platform? Because I couldn't find it, and I know this funding is only for this year. So the action plan, the targets that we're hitting, have got to be short courses, hitting the workplace. People obviously of a certain age that we're not getting into college, because we do have those people getting into the college, and we don't want to take away from that. We want to get a bit of bang for our buck on this. But also, seeing we recruit somebody into that role, and it's going to be the last two quarters of the year, they're only recruited for 6 months then in that role. Is that moving somebody internally in the organisation into that? I know we had the two spots and we didn't fill one. Or is there any indication that this programme will continue from DfE next year? Because I think it should. A couple of questions in there somewhere. Don't know them myself, but no, hopefully somebody picked them up.
It all adds up,
yeah. I should write down my questions.
We'll take a couple of questions together. So, Councillor McAteer.
Well, yeah, as Peter said, very welcome this. But my question as well, really was, yes, about the continuity of it, really. You know, a one season wonder wouldn't be great, but it definitely welcome. It's something really welcome to happen to second it. For many reasons. You know, even from foreign nationals coming in as well, part of integration as well into the work system, like very very useful as well. You know, and some of the older people who passed through school maybe never had and always had an ambition. You know, to pass, get maths, so very very useful. Happy to say. Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Maybe just, Chair, if I'll come back and maybe address some of the queries raised. The action plan is under development, and if we have a target, we're working towards that at the minute. So it's good to get some feedback around some of the things that should be and could be included and referred to within that action plan. With respect to staffing, we have a letter of offer and a funding from the department, which is time-bound. We will do our best in the marketplace to try and employ a member of staff. It may be someone internal if they're successful in the recruitment. However, you know, we have to advertise it as a funded post and move forward on that basis. But you know, as soon as we get this approval, if we get approval, we will move it through the recruitment process and get it out to the market as soon as we can. With no indication on whether there'll be any funding beyond this financial year, but it's something that we will be lobbying and discussing with the department on in respect of continuing it on into the next financial year.
Thank you. Okay, so that item was then proposed by Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor McAteer. Item 8 is the elected member development charter, and that's for Josephine Kelly.
Members will be aware of the discussions about the importance of having sort of training and development for councillors. But to do it in a value for money way. Within NILGA, there's the Member Development Charter. More information can be found on the NILGA website, and there are various requirements for this charter. It was something that was discussed at party leaders last week, and it was felt this was a good way through the charter process to bring forward development and training requirements. So this paper is recommending that Number one, that they commit to the requirements of the Member Development Charter. They nominate party leaders as members to progress the charter requirements, and that any training and development requirements for councillors will progress through the charter arrangements, and that as far as resource implications, there is a budget for councillor training. There will be time have to be put in by councillors and officers investing, bringing this charter forward. But as far as accreditation costs and future training costs, it would be brought under the charter arrangements. So within the budget we have for training for councillors. So it's here for decision tonight.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon.
I'm happy to propose this paper, and it did go through the party leaders forum and we did have a good conversation around it. I think for Sinn Féin the most important thing is that any resources we do have, that we're using them in order to make sure councillors are upskilled in many different areas across council, because just when you become an elected representative, it doesn't make you an expert on everything, despite, maybe public opinion on that. But, so I think it's important that we tailor in whatever resource we have or whatever resource we can tap into to make sure that councillors are, getting the training that they need. So happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. So I need a seconder.
Sure, I'll be happy to second that.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Item 9 is the draft performance improvement objectives, and over to Gerard Byrne for that, please.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, in front of you tonight is the draft performance improvement plan for 24-25. So, it is proposed that Council carry forward four of the high performance improvement objectives from 23-24, and the wording in relation to performance improvement objective 2 has been amended. So the objectives were developed in context with the Corporate Plan 21-23 and also the Draft Corporate Plan 24-27. So outlined in Appendix A are the supporting actions and measures of success for each performance improvement objective. So councils are required to consult and engage with a range of stakeholders. The proposed six-week consultation programme will run from the 19th of April to the 31st of May 2024. So members are asked to consider and agree the five draft performance improvement objectives at Appendix 1 and the proposed approach and timetable for publishing the Performance Improvement Plan 24-25 as outlined in Appendix 2. So I'm happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you. I see Councillor McMurray wants to speak. He's not a member, so we go straight to him, or had anyone else? Councillor Burns, sorry to put you off.
You said that. Just come in to propose it. Happy enough with the five points objectives that outlined and the time frame. We had our DEA council meeting on Tuesday night, and we had it presented by one of the council officers, and he was Colin Moffat, and had taken it. So happy with the recommendations there to propose.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Joanne. I'll be brief and say it's just to make sort of general comment and say, just because we have so many people here at director level, that it's just good to get this all in one place. So just generally regarding the government, the performance plan, just when it says improving leisure, just to sort of let it be known, obviously, that Newcastle Leisure Centre is still obviously something that needs to be developed and pushed forward. So just looking forward to that. Dog funding, Chair, I'm sure every councillor here will be contacted at some stage. So it's just again to make sure, Chair, that the director knows that that we are going forward and tackling dog funding as an issue. And again, just one final point, again, the business development section, again, only this week I was contacted by a business as well looking for outreach and stuff like that. The council officers are very, very good at doing that and got back to the business in question. So, but again, just to know that these things are ongoing and that hopefully this strategy or this performance improvement objectives will be hit upon. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, could I have a seconder, please, for item 9? Councillor McAteer, thank you. Item 10 is the Local Government Staff Commission for NI, and over to Josephine Kelly.
Okay, this is a paper for decision. Probably just note before I start, previously, in previous years, this paper would have come through in closed session. However, I sought clarity from the local government staff commission, and they're aware that this is a publicly aware information, so it's now an open session. So, you know, people have asked about closed and open sessions. We are trying to bring as much into the open session as possible. So members will be aware in relation to the local staff commission. It was to be dissolved a number of years ago, but this dissolution order has not been enacted. Therefore, until it is, there are certain running costs. We do avail of the services of the staff commission and have done over the last number of years. And the way the staff commission works is that each council pays a proportion of the running costs. You can see in section 2.2 of the report that the charge for Newry Morning Down is £26,316, and that is compared to £26,418 for last year. So I'm recommending that this payment is paid to the Commission in line with the letter that we've received from them, just to note the date of the provisional resolution of the Commission, and just ask for approval then, therefore, for those two recommendations tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. We discussed this last year when it came up, and I remember being baffled and doing a wee bit of reading into what actually they are doing now. And the staff members have been decreased from the original dissolution notice from 11 down to 4, so I'm still, you know, and the bigger figures there, I don't know what we get for this. I know we're duty bound to pay it. The reason why I'm stating this is I have an issue with agreeing with the recommendation that we approve it on going up to March 2027. I think it's something that we need to look at coming back. This is only 2024 now. It's meant to be dissolved in March 2017, so it's the next 10 years. What do we get for our money on this? Obviously, there's advisory from them. There's recruitment panels. There's code of conduct for officers and that. Do we get any bang for our buck throughout the year? If you're reduced to 4 staff and you're overseeing all the councils and the housing executive, I can't imagine you get much for it.
I think the executive wants to come in. I personally know that I've had excellent service from them, and there's been a number of complex issues, and they have provided an excellent service.
Okay.
Yeah, and just to reaffirm that, I think that it's been a very difficult position for them because they have been in a position where they would be decommissioned, and it hasn't been the case. They have done significant downsizing to try and accommodate that. And in their downsizing, I actually have found that they have been more proactive in their engagement with us and actually helping local government. So I like Josephine would have to say their service has been excellent.
Yeah. And just on the recommendation, maybe just in that comment, we might have to downsize the council and we might get a wee bit better service if we do that.
The paper comes on an annual basis.
Yeah, but we're I've been asked to... I highlighted here to approve the ongoing contribution of running costs up to 2027. I'm uncomfortable with that. Have it coming back next year.
No, it's coming back every year. The paper has come on an annual basis. I think it's really more noting that you're going to 2027, but we will bring it back next year, so you will see exactly what the figure is.
Okay, so happy to propose if we change the word at 3.2, that it's not to approve the ongoing contributions. It states that members of the committee are asked to approve ongoing contribution of running costs up to 2027.
Well, I think if 3.1 stands, and if 3.2 is just to note that the provisional date of the commission to the 31st of March 2027, and that each year if costs are incurred, they'll be brought back to committee.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, Chair. Yes, Councillor Byrne really, I suppose, has received the answer that I was going to ask. I was concerned again about the longevity of it, and again, I'm just really glad to hear that actually we are making use, we still get use out of it. But then, I suppose, that begs the question: if it's so useful, then what actually is going to replace it? And I know where. You know, there's a wind down, so you found it very, very useful in obviously in certain circumstances. So then what is the proposed replacement? You know.
I'm sure that is the question. You know, I do believe there would need to be something that replaces it because it does provide a valuable service. I don't think it has been determined what that would be as yet, and I'm assuming that would be part of the whole move towards dissolution in 2017.
It does seem a bit of a strange, sort of almost anomaly that you're doing. We have something that's still required, but that's still very useful, but there's nothing that's going to replace it. And could just illustrate roughly what type of work that was extremely useful. It was along the speech run, I guess, recently.
There are some, you know, complex HR matters that we thought
advice. Maybe it's something to be questioned that, you know, in light that if they are moving towards dissolution, and that we do ask the question urgently, you know, if it comes tonight, what is actually going to happen in the short term? We don't want to be, as I say, setting ourselves a bill as far as 2027, but we'd be quite happy if there was.
I think this will be something discussed through NILGA and through SOLAS, because this affects all councils, not just ourselves.
I know, But even just the fact that it's like a member to recognise that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, could I have a seconder, please?
Yeah, second that.
Thank you. Item 11, Planning Department Quarterly Update, and that's over to Jonathan McGillie.
Yes, Chair. The papers has been circulated in advance, Chair, with details. This is a follow-on from a discussion in the paper at January SPNR, where the recommendation is this will be updated and brought back to members on a quarterly basis. Chair, the paper outlines, where planning performance sets across major legacy applications and local applications against the statutory targets and the Northern Ireland targets, or the Northern Land averages, Chair. I suppose on the second page, probably more to the salient points is the current update as to where we are around applications, allocations, and new applications, Chair. Was the key statistics there are around, we've currently around 1,600 applications in the system, 510 awaiting allocation. That has been all of those applications that are awaiting allocation have been never notified and consultations have been issued, and there's 260 new applications to be validated, Chair. We've also an update within the paper around the local development plan and enforcement, Chair. So just over to members to note at this stage or ask any questions.
Thank you. Councillor McAteer.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Yes, and certainly thank you, Jonathan, for bringing the paper. And we fully appreciate it. As part of the councillors who incessantly are receiving phone calls from worried applicants. But the fact that we recognise that people are trying their very best to solve a very difficult problem, and to recognise the work that's already been done, and want to just encourage further work at all, even to fine-tune this in whatever way deemed possible, to, you know, even in terms of talking more to maybe the planning staff about how they feel as well, about things that have been handled and what further work could be done, because I don't think we can sustain this at all and further into the year, really. People were expected to have permissions and start to build better weather, such as what people plan. 68 months in advance. So definitely welcome the paper and propose happy enough with it. But just to note those points that I made.
Councillor Hanlon. I Sinn Féin would welcome this paper. I think it's important that we do have something tangible that we can actually, you know, look at and see the figures on a quarterly basis. And as Councillor McAteer alluded to, there wouldn't be a day goes by that any of us get phone calls about the backlog off planning, and do recognise the challenges that have been there. And it was interesting, I was speaking to a developer there during the week, and he said, oh, well, Newry Morning Down, they're the worst and nobody wants to use. But it's interesting now that we see it actually laid out in front of us that we actually have the highest number of applications as well. So it swings and roundabouts,
I guess, in terms of that. And, you know, nobody will dispute the challenges that have been there in terms of staff and HR and recruitment. And I suppose moving forward, it was interesting speaking to a colleague in another council area this week, and they were sort of bemoaning the fact that they're beginning to get clogged up as well. So I think there is, you know, there's obviously something there around the statutory consultee process as well, which maybe needs to be addressed too. Because as we begin as a council to get these applications moving, there is going to be a backlog then as if it goes up the line to the, or out to consultation. So I just think it's important we keep it on the agenda and we do get these reports, because if nothing else, it shows the commitment of the council towards economic development and making sure that the planning is dealt with timely. And again, even the smaller cases, and I know I've said this before, it can have a massive economic impact on small families as well, because if you're looking even just to get an extension, it's all important and it's all relative to people. And even if we're looking at, you know, adaptations and things like that there. So I just think it's good that we're getting this report and we're able to keep an eye on it as councillors going forward. So thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Not going to repeat a single word that Una said. I agree with absolutely everything she said. It's very useful for us to get. I just want to ask a question that's separate to that, around the staff allocation. Obviously, we went back out for recruitment and we've all post-filled, apparently, from this paper. When we knew the situation that we had with the vacancies in it and in the planning department and the applications to be validated had increased, and we talked about people at the last SBNR meeting, where checks were going back because they were 6 months out of date and all that. Can we not ring-fence the planning department? When I read the line that two staff were seconded to trade union duties and democratic services, I nearly fell off my chair. I couldn't believe it. How in a department that is really, really...
Sir, that's a closed session item. You're talking about staff and matters right. Somewhere in an open session.
I just... Yeah, okay.
Councillor Taylor, please.
So you finished, Councillor Byrne?
Okay.
We will go into closed session shortly, and then you can make your point. Just for people to know, put the paper in open session that we could, because we wanted to show transparency. The paper was originally won in all in closed session because of staff and matters. We split it to get transparency for the public that they could see that, but staff and matters are confidential and for closed session.
Yes. Okay.
I have a proposer and seconder.
No, you're okay, Chair. No, just wanted to make sure Councillor Byrne was finished. I'm hoping what I'm going to ask isn't in required to be in closed session. And listen, like everyone else, this report's good. It's very welcome, and it's good to see, you know, get a better picture of where things are, because I think Councillor, you know, Hallin outlined the fact that there is this, and I have got this before as well, this perception that this isn't a good place to do planning issues. And part of the reason is because of the volume of work that we're dealing with and the fact that we don't have the necessary staff to deal with the various cases that are being obviously submitted, and that creates a backlog, and it does lead to frustration, because it's at the moment it's taking potentially a case officer at the same time to be allocated a case as it should be for us to process an entire case, and then that's, you know, that's poor in terms of the performance, the targets that we have. But we understand the challenges, and I suppose that's where my question is. There's obviously been quite a number of attempts to recruit staff, and have we tried to endeavour, I suppose, doing research across the various council areas about how we can make ourselves to be the most competitive, in the most competitive position that we can to attract the necessary staff in the position? Because sometimes when there is a reputation about a council being slow to process or slow to deal with cases, certainly wouldn't want us to be in a position where that puts off potential staff coming to us. But is there a way, you know, have we looked at ways in which we can make our council the most attractive place in Northern Ireland to be for planning officials to work in, because that allows us obviously to process applications in a much swifter manner. It also has benefits to us as a council in terms of obviously generating work within the local economy. So it has major implications, I suppose, if we are understaffed. It's trying to establish how we make ourselves the most competitive position that we can be to attract staff to the council.
Sure, yes. I mean, talk about that in the second part of the paper, Chair, but in general terms, yes, we are working with our HR around looking at alternative methods of looking at how we can maybe develop shortlists of staff going forward now that we are fully staffed, also looking at how we can discuss with neighbouring councils, looking at potential for pooling staff, but those discussions are all been had with HR, review and JD, so that's an ongoing process to try to deal with those issues. We're not just going to, so it's work in progress as well.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to clear up the last question, my question's in open session. I'm talking about the paper in open session. I just checked my notes back there. But do you want me to leave that?
Yeah,
shut it up.
That should not be in.
Okay.
That line
okay.
Should not
just
be
I didn't want this. I didn't.
Yeah, just okay. Put it up myself.
Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? For noting, yeah.
Yeah, propose.
Councillor Byrne. Councillor McAteer. Items deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014. Could I have a proposer and seconder to go into closed session?
Proposed.
Mr. McAteer. Mr. Lewis. Thank you. During closed session, the following were agreed. Item 12, the proposed lease of lands at Lismore Park, Cross Maglen, on the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to enter into a lease with the club noted in the officer's report at Lismore Park, Cross Maglen, as outlined in red on the map attached to the officer's report, for a term of 25 years at a peppercorn rent subject to departmental consent. Item 13, lease proposal. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to approve the recommendations as outlined within the officer's report. Item 14, STA Asset Management System. On the proposal of Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to approve the recommendations as outlined within the officer's report. Item 15, the rate support grant update. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Lewis, it was agreed to note that an independent review of the rate support grant is to commence and should be completed by October 2024. Item 16, communications. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Lewis, it was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report. Item 17, exempt minutes of Newry City Centre Regeneration Programme Board meeting of 5th of February 2024. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Lewis, it was agreed to note the minutes of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Programme Board meeting held on 5th of February 2024. Items 18 to 20 are for noting, and I'll take a proposer and seconder for the three, if I take those together, and if there are any comments afterwards.
Proposed
by Councillor Rice and seconded by Councillor Mathers. Any comments?
I mean, just on item 20.
Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, just Minister Murphy's reply to hang on. I suppose at the former meeting myself. I welcome actually a certain degree, he's made an effort at least to recognise that there may be situations where some property owners are in excess of 100,000, like the fact that he must consider, given it in the whole round, when it's all completed, that there's extra monies there to the 10 million that, for the flood and relief that they could be looking at these. So while initially the recommendation 100,000 per day was against at least some recognition of the potential there to do something further. So welcome that, just to note that.
Okay, thank you. So that brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much and stay home.